This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Today, we have something kind of special in store, and actually something I've been wanting to talk about for a while now. We are going to talk about the Matrix, like what the Matrix is, why we get stuck in the Matrix, and how hard it is to get yourself out of the Matrix, because it is definitely not easy.
It's really not. And to this day, like, I'm going to be honest, I don't even know how to get out of the Matrix. Like, I try to explore different things and avenues, but it's still so, so difficult. So I'm glad we're having this conversation, because I wonder how many people, like, feel that way, that they want to escape, but they just can't seem to, you know, get there.
So before we dive deep into this discussion, let's talk a little bit about what the Matrix is. Now, the Matrix is a program. I like to call it programming. It's just the second that we are born, we are assigned a number and we go into the system. And the system is, we go to elementary school, we go middle school, high school. If we can't afford it, we take out loans, we go to college, and then we usually enter our, like, young adult life, like the beginning of our careers, in debt. We're already behind financially. We are struggling because now we have rent to pay plus student loans, for most, also a car payment. And obviously, companies are just not paying you enough to live, and, you know, they're not paying you enough for basic living expenses to keep a roof over your head and food on the table. So you're just struggling every single day. And it's the exact same routine every single day. You wake up, especially if you're working a 9-to-5, you wake up. You have to obviously account for time on the road. If you're commuting, you're at your job from 9-to-5, you usually get an hour lunch, and then you are stuck in an enormous amount of traffic trying to get yourself home. And then when you get home, you have to cook dinner, you have to, you know, prepare for whatever you got going on the next day. You might have an or two of your personal time, downtime, and then you sleep, and then you wake up and do it all over again.
You know, I like to think of the Matrix as a rat race, because everything you just described sounds like a rat race, or like a hamster wheel, where it's just like you just keep going and going and going and going, and you don't really get anywhere until you're just completely exhausted and burnt out. Like, that's kind of how I perceive the Matrix at this point, because you see it happening to people. You see people, like, just hustling and bustling and working so hard, 2, 3, 4 jobs, trying to do the right thing because that's what they were told and programmed to do, and still struggle to pay their bills and make a living and even save for the future. And so to me, that's kind of like how I look at it. And that's honestly how it feels too, because I worked a 9-to-5 for many, many years. I did everything. Like, went to school, went and got a master's, took out student loan debt, worked and worked and worked, 9-to-5. And to this day, I don't know that I have anything to show for it.
That's interesting that you say that, that you have nothing to show for it. I wonder how many people are actually feeling that way. That they have worked, they have followed the system, they have done everything that we are programmed to do or told to do. And it's just like, okay, so I followed the path. I graduated, I went to college, I took out the student loan debt, and here I am in my job, not making enough to live. And I'm wondering how many people feel I have nothing to show for it. I did everything right, and here I am still struggling. How many of you feel that way?
Well, I can imagine a lot of people do. I mean, I suppose my circumstance is a little unique because I ended up going through a separation, divorce, and filing bankruptcy. So, like, you know, when you do all that, you kind of got to start over from scratch. But, you know, I'd be curious to know how many people feel that way, especially from our generation, the millennial generation in particular. Like, I know that a lot of us were taught and told to go to school, to get an education, to take out student loans, that you'll be able to pay it back later. And I also know that there are a lot of us that can't pay back our student loans or are struggling to. And when you have student loans, it's harder to do things like afford to buy a house or even afford to have children. So I'm sure there's a lot of people who are feeling something similar.
I would agree with Tiara. But this is essentially, you guys, this is what the Matrix is. It's just societal programming. Like, from the second that we're born, we are told how to live our lives. Like, we are taught this is how you live your life, and this is how you succeed, and this is what success looks like. And so we all kind of follow this path, and I actually like to call it modern day slavery. That's what I feel that the Matrix is. I feel as if the Matrix is modern day slavery. Like, we are just trained out of the get-go on how to live and what we're supposed to do with our lives. Now, it's interesting because free will and all, they tell you, like, well, you can pick your own career. You know, it's like we pick what we study in college, you know, we pick a major. And then we can decide from there if we want to go to grad school. And it's like, it's an interesting perspective, right? Because even though we're being trained and told what to do, it's like we have pieces of, well, this is my choice because I chose to major in this, or this is the job that I chose. But really what it comes down to is that even though, yes, you are choosing your major and yes, you are choosing your career, we're still following the path in which we are told. Like, to get out of your own mind and ego and actually look at the broader picture, the bigger picture of what is being instilled in us, what we are being taught, I feel like that is a huge component as to why people get so stuck in the Matrix, because we do feel like in some ways those decisions are ours. So it's just a really interesting perspective, and it's a really interesting thought when you actually remove, like, the decisions that you made to be a part of said programming or said matrix. Because again, we're just following the path in which we were taught from the get-go, but we feel like, okay, I'm choosing what school I go to. I'm choosing what major I'm going to study. I'm choosing my career. I'm choosing where I'm going to live. I'm choosing my apartment or house or whatever. I'm choosing my car. So it feels, it's this really interesting spin on what is ours, like our choices, versus what we've been programmed from the get-go.
You know, that's an interesting thought. I haven't looked at it that way, but that's interesting because I think you're right. Like, we have the specific core programming, but then we make choices and decisions that are ours at the end of the day, but that are still rooted or based on that same root programming. And so it gives this illusion that you're choosing based on your own free, you know, free will and free thought. But at the end of the day, like, is that really what's going on? Or is it you're choosing things that are in alignment with the said same programming? Like, it's a very interesting interplay and dynamic. And I think it's where a lot of people sort of get stuck because you don't know that the choices that you're making are tied to deeper manipulative information. So you kind of just operate thinking, hey, these choices are just choices that I made for myself and I'm proud of these choices. And then, you know, those choices become a part of your identity and get ingrained in your ego. So it's a really interesting interplay. And honestly, to really escape that, you have to be able to dissect the choice from the programming. And that's hard to do.
It absolutely is. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience. For those of you who don't know me, if you're new to this podcast, I did grow up in a very spiritual household. I basically grew up with hippie parents. You know, my parents were born in the 40s. They lived through the 60s and like had, you know, they're just part of that hippie era where it's just kind of like, fuck capitalism. And honestly, they were onto something. I don't think anyone can deny it at this point. Like, they were onto something. And so I just had a very unique upbringing where they always encouraged a new path for me. And even though I grew up in that environment, I still wanted to have this Matrix experience. Now, I didn't know what the hell the Matrix was when I was making all these decisions. I had no idea that I was playing into something bigger like modern day slavery. I had no freaking idea, but I did know that I wanted to have that college experience because, you know, not everyone in the world who goes to college has the same type of American style college experience where there's dorms and you move out of the house and you have this off dorm out of like first time out of the house living and like you're just surrounded by a bunch of people your age and like have that college dorm campus experience. Now, I didn't know that in other parts of the world, this was before I traveled, I didn't know that, you know, other countries didn't have that college life in the US experience. And a lot of them just lived at home and there was no campus that they could move into dorms to. I had no idea, you guys. So I followed that path. Like, I just really wanted to experience college. And I took out student loan debt and I graduated with debt. And I was just like, okay, now it's time to pick a career. I decided time off was very important to me, even like from, you know, a very young age, because honestly, I think it's bullshit that in the United States, you only get 2 weeks PTO, personal time off. And I was just like, okay, what career can I pick that offers more than 2 weeks paid time off? And that was banking, because I liked the structure of banking of like a guaranteed working basically Monday through Friday. They did offer, most companies I worked for offered 3 to 4 weeks off. And then you got all of the public holidays off, which was fantastic. So many 3-day weekends. It was perfect. But although I was very successful in it, that 9-to-5 grind, it wore me out. It was wearing and tearing on me. Trying to have a personal life in that was dang near impossible. Yeah. And yeah, Tiara will chime in there. Oh, yeah. And so I was just in it every single day. And I like, it was honestly eating at my soul. It was eating me up inside. And I just ignored it with a bunch of distractions because I was so busy. I was just like, well, I got this going.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real, game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
And I have a boyfriend and I have, you know, it's just, I was just so focused and like, I loved overtime. I remember having a conversation with Tiara and I was just all about that overtime. I was just like, why not get overtime? It's time and a half, right? Like in my 20s, I cared more about money than I did my mental health. And I feel like a lot of people in their 20s, when they're just getting started in their career, it's like you have something to prove, you want to go in there, you want to work hard. Now obviously that has shifted, right? Like I'm talking about the mid early 2000s, like, you know, obviously in 2025 it's a very different mentality. So we're time traveling a little bit here and we're going back to the mid early 2000s. But for me, because it was just soul sucking, I had to do what I had to do to escape it and try something different. And I will talk more about that later on in this episode, but I want Tiara to share a little bit about her Matrix experience.
Oh, yeah. I went full blast into the Matrix. And, you know, it was, especially when I was younger, it was all mostly programming. Like I did the undergraduate degree. Then I decided at some point, you know, I'm sick of living where I'm living. I'm bored. I feel like I have no direction. Let me go to graduate school. It'll give me a little bit of a foundation for some of the stuff I want to do, which at the time was like a public sector work, like public policy, public affairs. So I was like, let me go get a master's degree. So I did that. Now, I will say that my master's degree experience was phenomenal. Like, I met some great people out there. That's where I met Allie. That's where I met my boyfriend at the time. And the experience was fantastic. It did put me in tens of thousands of dollars more of debt. But then, like, you know, I did the same thing most people think, which is, hey, I'll be able to pay it off. I'll be able to get some, you know, high profile job that makes a lot of money and I'll just like, you know, pay it off in a couple of years. So at some point, you know, I graduated and then I kind of had this thing and I have always had this thing where like I feel restless and I'm just like, I have to be doing something. Like I have to be active. I have to be doing something. At the time, the flavor of choice was running and bodybuilding. So I was like, well, you know, this is fun, but like, how can I really motivate myself a little bit more to do more, to be better, to like challenge myself? I know I will do competitive bodybuilding. So at one point I was working full time, training for a competitive bodybuilding competition, and then trying to do some business on the side. So I think at the time I was wanting to do like tarot or womb healing type of work. So I was doing a lot. And when I say I burned out, like, I don't know if I have the full words to describe the burnout I experienced. It started when, because again, I was prepping for a bodybuilding competition. It started when my body stopped losing weight. Because when you're training and you're prepping, like you get into this phase where you're dropping calories and you're still working out like 2 hours a day. Again, at the time I was also working, so it was a lot, but I was like, I can do it. I can do everything. I've got the energy and the focus and the drive, like, it's a walk in the park. Other people do it. So when I stopped losing weight, that's when I was like, something's not right here. And eventually it also started affecting my thyroid. Now, in bodybuilding, there's this phenomenon where if you are working too hard or you're stressed or you're not, you've depleted your body too much and you're not getting enough calories, you can experience the opposite, where like the body just stops losing weight when it's supposed to be losing weight. And it's a really weird interplay of like hormones and, you know, calories and some other physics, thermodynamics or whatever. So I started to experience that phenomenon. And I think I started to really get concerned when my hair started thinning and my period stopped. And that's when I was like, whoa, something's not right. So it was that point, and I remember it was like 2019 when I was like, I need to step back and it needs to be something. It's either going to have to be the bodybuilding, it's going to have to be my job, or it's going to have to be a side gig. Something's got to go. And I remember wrestling with myself, like, I really don't want to drop bodybuilding. It's my hobby. It's my passion. I love it so much. I love being on the stage so much. I want to be a pro. But then also realizing, like, okay, what matters more, my job and being able to pay the bills or bodybuilding, right? Like, bodybuilding is a money suck. It's time suck. It was just, wasn't really getting me anywhere. And now my body's feeling. So I was just like, I got to let go of the bodybuilding. And I just remember like fighting with myself and just like, it was such a gut wrench to let it go. But I did that in 2019 after being a bodybuilder for 5 years. And since then, there's always just kind of been this void when it comes to that and like that hobby and like that fire, that passionate thing that I love so much. But the crazy thing is that I continued on with working and doing the 9-to-5 rat race and the side gig. And I think I burned out like 3 or 4 more times. I just kept like getting to the same state over and over and over again. And I was just like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why I keep burning out. Like, nothing makes sense. The crazy thing too, in addition, is that both of my sisters also burnt out like around the same time. They experienced burnout in different ways. And so I was just like, this has to be either indicative of some type of generational pattern, or there's just something deeper going on in our society and the way that we operate that is disruptive to the psyche and the mind and the body. So it was just really interesting to see that dynamic play out more than once among people that I knew. And to this day, like, I haven't quite fully figured out or mastered how to escape the matrix in the way that I want, but I do know it's something that I want to get to at some point. It's just, you got to like find out that exit, and it needs to be done in a manner that is tied to surrender, being able to surrender. But there's also this aspect of like really knowing what you want to do and manifesting the life that you want. And, you know, again, I'm not quite fully there, but I do see the negative impacts that being beholden to the matrix can have on the body. And especially so if you are a woman and you are a go-getter and you're that boss girl, like, and you also have a family or a husband or a household to maintain, like, that stuff on top of everything else eventually just burned me out so bad. And I see it happening to a lot of other women. And it's unfortunate that we live in a society that has driven us to such a state. Like, it really, really is.
So are you saying that people are stuck because of the programming? Would you say that it's just like people are just so enthralled into their own lives and their daily routine and the same thing every single day? It's just, obviously it burns you out. I'm not I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying, is it because you're so distracted by it or you're just so involved in it that it just makes everything else seem impossible or make everything else feel like things can't get better or you just feel stuck in it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because you also have to understand that this way of existing is all most people know. Like, this is what's been ingrained in us since birth. This is what we know what to do. There is no other way. Like, this is the way. And you either suck it up and make it work for you, or you're a failure. Like, you pick one. And I think that that's just kind of how, I mean, at least that's how it was perceived for me. It was just like, you know, I don't know no other way to bring in money. I don't know any other way to be, you know, successful and survive and pay my bills and have a roof over my head. This is what I know. And so I think that maybe there are a lot of people out there that just don't know any other way. And then, yeah, of course, a lot of us are really deeply ingrained in our lives and self-absorbed, and we don't really see any bigger picture. We just see what's in front of us. And, you know, when you do the rat race, like, you don't have time to see the bigger picture. You only see what's in front of you because that's all you have time for. So, yeah, I think that a lot of people do get stuck under those type of circumstances.
And that right there, you guys, is the Matrix.
Yeah, pretty much in a nutshell.
Yeah. And it's so unfortunate that we live our lives this way. I mean, obviously, we don't know any better. We weren't taught any better. And I actually want to go back to school real quick, like, not me physically go back to school, but I want to talk about school because I have seen a lot of really interesting things come out that have really made me second guess the school system. And anyone who's not sitting there second guessing the school system, I want you to, like, take a look at this perspective that I'm about to paint, because school, they don't teach you how to survive in life. They teach you what they want to teach you. They feed you the books that they want you to read. They teach you the curriculum that they want you to learn. Like, we don't learn how to actually live in this world. Like, if I did not have the parents that I had who taught me how to manage finances, they taught me what credit is, how it should be used. They taught me discipline. Like, I was talking, I've been actually reflecting a lot about, like, my childhood and my upbringing lately. And, you know, I've obviously have had a lot of chats with Tiara about some of the things. And she was just like, dang, why didn't I, like, that's so valuable. Like, I would be in a way different place in my life if I learned, you know, about managing money and if I learned about credit and if I learned about debt. And I told Tiara this story, like, there was a point in my life where I was considering going to grad school because I did not like elementary school. I didn't like middle school. I didn't like high school. But I weirdly, enjoyed, like, my college education. Like, I liked the curriculum. I liked that, like, I was a business major, and business actually teaches you things that help you survive in this world, like accounting and economics and psychology. And so, like, I really enjoyed a lot of those classes. And there was a period where I got accepted to grad school and I was going to be a double major. I was going to study international business and economics at the same time because I'm overly ambitious. And I remember calling my mother, and my mother said to me, well, first of all, congratulations for getting accepted. But she was just like, how are you going to afford that? And I was like, well, I'm going to look at taking out student loans. And she was like, how much is it going to cost you for this double major? And I said, around 80 grand. And my mother, bless her heart, she just said to me, Allie, if you do that, you are signing your death warrant. And I was just like, well, that's really dramatic. And she was like, no, no, no. Like, she was just like, do you really want to come out of school in $100,000 worth of debt? Do you really, really want that? Like, my mother wasn't, she wasn't against me getting higher education. She was against the price tag, because being in $100,000 worth of debt right out of the get-go, how am I ever going to catch up in this world? Like, I'm already in debt from undergrad. And my mother was like, how are you ever going to get ahead financially? That was her concern.
Yeah.
And I remember having this conversation with Tiara, and Tiara was like, I honestly wish I had someone in my life who said that to me.
Yeah. Although I will say, like, my parents were interesting because they at least knew the burden of that and knew that they didn't want to co-sign on the loan, but they didn't say to me, like, hey, you might want to consider that being in that much debt when you graduate puts you behind, like, immediately. That conversation was never had, but there was that concern around having that amount of debt, just generally speaking. And, you know, my mom did say, like, you know, are you sure you want to do that? Now, it wasn't framed in the same way, but, you know, they did express some concerns about that amount of money. It's just, you know, sometimes you just need it to be framed in a certain way for it to click. And, you know, I didn't have that, unfortunately. So, yeah, that's why I said that that information is so valuable, because it's not just the information, but it's the way that it's presented and the way it's framed that's so impactful sometimes. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that so many people don't get that.
Right. And it wasn't just about finances that my parents taught me. It was also about allowing me to be free, allowing me to be independent, teaching me to go after the things that I want. One of the most important things in business, and, like, I know this is a well-known thing, I don't know who originally said it, but something that my dad used to always tell me, he was like, in business, because he knew I wanted to go to school for business, my dad was like, in business, if you are talking to someone that tells you no, then you are talking to the wrong person. You just have to keep asking until someone tells you yes. And so, like, they taught me, like, little things about persistence, independence, encouraging me to go after what I want. They instilled things like following through. Like, I remember my childhood where my dad used to sign me up for all these sports, like t-ball, softball, soccer, basketball, track and field hockey. They put me in ski school, gymnastics. Like, I was a very, very active child, and my dad was just like, but the reason why he did it was because he wanted to introduce me to new things. And, like, I didn't realize that I'm just a kid. I didn't realize that that is what he was doing. But my dad, like, he always told me, he was just like, you should try everything once, Allie. And I've lived with that. And that's also really valuable information. And he also was like, listen, I'm going to sign you up for these things. If you don't like it, that's okay. You don't have to like it, but you are going to finish the season. And then next year we don't sign up for that thing. So he taught me to follow through. He taught me to try new things. And he taught me that it's okay if you don't like something. And these are all things, you guys, I'm being taught and trained in my household that I did not even realize how valuable these things were until my young adulthood.
It's funny how that happens, huh? Like, when you grow up and you're just like, man, that information that my parents gave me was so impactful and so valuable. And I actually really love that, you know, your philosophy from your father was to try everything once. That's such a very beautiful philosophy and mindset. And, you know, I think for most, we kind of get into the state where, okay, well, we'll try things, but it needs to be safe, or, like, it needs to be the least or lowest risk, or it needs to be not so dangerous or have the potential to, like, cause damage to me in some kind of way. At least that's how I operated for the most part. Like, I was willing to try things, but only within the confines of my own perceived comfort and safety. And so that can be very limiting. And I know it was very limiting for me. And so that's what I mean, that sometimes just having that additional perspective and having that framed to you in a specific way can be so valuable and so impactful.
Yeah, I've learned a lot about, you know, just now that I'm in my adulthood, I've been reflecting a lot about my childhood and my path and, you know, walking through the matrix. And in many ways, my parents were very against it. But of course, like, you know, they were there to offer support and guidance, but they never made my decisions for me. And, you know, that's another very valuable thing that my parents have instilled in me. And even though, like, outside of my household, my childhood was very tumultuous, I have to say that, like, I'm very appreciative for my upbringing and the way that I was raised, because I was learning things that were so valuable in life that I had no idea were even valuable in life at the time. No clue. And I would say that it's a lot of those teachings that helped me break out of the matrix. And I don't want to sound egotistical when I say this, but very few people have accomplished what I have accomplished at the age in which I am. Like, I, at age 28, 29, I was going back to the beginning of the episode where I said it was just a soul sucking thing being in the matrix. Like, I was yearning for something more. Ever since I was young, my dream, I had one goal in life when I was, for as long as I can remember, 4, 5, my one goal was I wanted to see the world. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I knew traveling cost money. I knew that I was also afraid. I was just like, I only speak English. I don't know these languages. I don't know how I'm going to get, I don't know where I'm going to get the money to travel. I don't know how I'm going to make this happen, but I'm going to make this happen. And, like, I geared my life around one day being able to travel. You know, working in banking, it's not the most exciting career, but it paid well. So working in banking, and then also my dad, actually, again, my dad, he was just like, Allie, if you really, really want to travel, and, like, if you're in a pickle in a country and if you need to make money, he was just like, you need to go get certified to teach English. He was just like, any of these countries are going to hire an English teacher if you have the proper certification. And I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant. So the next thing you know, I'm applying to the school in San Francisco to get my TESOL, teaching English as a second language, and my advanced TESOL. And it was a very, very rigorous program. And I completed it in a month. And, you know, after that, I started applying for jobs around the world. And I actually couldn't land a couple of them because at the time I didn't have a bachelor's degree. I only had a 2-year degree. And I was just like, okay, so to make this happen, you're now faced with going back to school. I went back to school. I took out more debt. I went back to school. And then I was just, I completed my bachelor's degree. So now I fit all of the requirements to go teach overseas. And I was going to go to Korea. I actually had the job. And then the job fell through on me 2 weeks before I was supposed to go. And then I was just like, okay, I can either keep applying, or maybe it's just not aligned right now, and maybe you just need to go back to a 9-to-5. So I ended back up in San Francisco, back into banking, and I did that. And then I had a short stint in property management, and then I went back to San Francisco. I moved around a lot. And then I went back to San Francisco, and I did that. And that's actually when I met Tiara. And that desire to go travel still never left me. And then I just decided I'm going to take up all my PTO, all of it, I think I had a month at that time. And I was like, I'm just going to go to Europe and I'm going to take that entire month and I'm going to go to Europe. And that was a life-changing experience for me. I went to Europe. I went to 3 countries. I went to Italy, France, and Spain. And I needed to do that trip to know, A, I can travel internationally by myself and be okay. I needed to know that. And then I also needed that trip because I needed to prove it to myself, because I had all this fear. I was like, I need to travel with someone. I don't know language. 2 minds are better than one. It's safer. I'm a female. This was back in 2014. I took this trip, the end of 2014. I came back from that trip and I was just like, I had proven it to myself. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go do this for an entire year. And I worked it out like with the company. I just told them like, yeah, I fell in love with traveling. This is something I have to go do. I'm going to go do it for a year. Gave up my apartment, drove my car from California to Vermont to leave my car at my parents' house while I went and traveled for a year. And it was about like a couple weeks in to my travels. I booked a one-way ticket to Australia. That first year, you guys, I ended up going to like 18 countries in that 1 year. So I had the time to travel and I was just like, yeah, I like money, of course. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to keep this going. And that is when the following year I went to Korea and I taught for a year, and then I was earning money and I still got to travel and live my dream. And I was just like, wow, there is life outside of the matrix. There is life outside of corporate America. Like my dream ever since I was a child is coming to fruition. It is coming true. I've been to like 20 countries at this point, living a completely different life. I couldn't fathom. I knew I wanted it, but I didn't know how to get it. And now I had it. And then that led to a 10-year run of just traveling the world and creating something different in my life outside of corporate America, starting this podcast, having this online community. And I mean, I made my reality. And no one else can ever take that away from me.
That's such a profound and beautiful story.
Thank you.
It gives us hope.
Sure. I mean, TR has escaped a little bit with my guidance and help.
So I guess this, where I am now, it's I don't know, I guess kind of like a limbo, because you know, when I made the decision to leave my job, it was under the pretenses of leaving a marriage too, and I didn't really have a plan. It was just kind of like, you know, I've got this chunk of money saved up that was actually tied to my pension, so I hadn't really saved it, because living paycheck to paycheck, you don't save much, but I did have that. And then from that point, I took this huge leap. And I remember when I was even considering leaving this job, people were like, you know, why are you doing that? Are you sure you want to do that? You know, you've got a good job. You've got a good position. And I did. I had a very cushy position. I was a manager and I was making good money for where I was. And I kind of had freedom to kind of do what I wanted. And I was well respected, and it was really hard to let that go. Like, I'm not going to lie that sometimes I'm just like, wow, was that the choice I should have made? But I did. And I spent some time over in Colombia at the suggestion of Allie. And I actually ended up really enjoying that experience. Like, it was nothing I'd ever experienced before. I had never left the country before. And it was my first international trip. Again, you know, she had been telling me for years to get a passport, which I hadn't done, because I was like, passports, like, those cost money. So eventually I ended up getting one and did the trip, was in Colombia for about 5.5 to 6 months. And the thing with, you know, going to some of these countries is that you have a limit, right? Like, unless you get a visa, You can only stay so long there with a passport. So eventually I did have to come back to the United States, and I kind of got to this place where I was like, wow, I guess it's time for me to start my life over. You know, here I am after having this incredible experience. Didn't really have any more money. Actually, I had zero money. I have a divorce to navigate through. I have a bankruptcy to work through. I'm just kind of starting over. And I'm okay with that as long as it gives me the opportunity to do something that I really am deeply passionate about, do something I really want, and allow that to align and take me in ways that I know it will. And part of me kind of knows that that's possible, but I think there's part of me that's just like, well, gosh, how do you do that when you don't have anything, like, you know? So I'm still trying to figure out like that next step and that next phase. I know there are things that I want to do and some things that I am passionate about, but again, how do you get to those things when you don't have anything to start with is kind of where I am right now. So I absolutely do not regret leaving the Matrix. I do not regret that at all, because it was weighing, just like Ali said, it was weighing down on me so heavily that there was just no way that I could continue to exist like that. Like, I would go to work and feel completely drained and have no idea why. Like, I wasn't really doing much. Here I am sitting at a desk, like, doing my task, and for some reason I feel so drained. Like, by 2 o'clock I need to go and take a break or lay down or like find some way to rejuvenate myself because I'm so drained. And it took me a while to link to the energetic like loss that was happening just from getting up and getting into traffic or getting on the bus and navigating downtown and then parking and then going in and doing meetings and like slaving away at the same desk for 8 hours. And it just wore at me so much. And I was just like, I can't exist like this anymore. Like, I can't do it. And I don't think I ever want to go back into the Matrix. Like, I really don't. Now, I will say that the thoughts that I have of going back into the Matrix are rooted in necessity. Like, hey, eventually I need to start bringing in something, right? Like, I can't just have nothing, like, all the time. So, and I think that that's very common. I think for a lot of people, we have that thought, hey, I'm doing this because I need to survive. How else do you survive? So it's kind of like a wrestling, you know, kind of wrestling with yourself. But gosh, if I can avoid going back into the Matrix, I absolutely will, like 100%.
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think people need to know what they want. I knew what I wanted from such a young age, and I made decisions around how do I get what I want. It's like, once you know what you want, and you have a clear objective, you have to make decisions around that goal. And the first step, you guys, is knowing what you want. Like, knowing, okay, I don't want to be a part of this rat race anymore. Okay, you know that. Great. You know what you don't want. That's fantastic. Now, you have to, A, figure out what you want, and then B, figure out how to get what you want. And a lot of people, I mean, if you're burnt out, I get it, it's exhausting. But at the same time, you're not going to get anywhere if you don't put that time and energy into it. Like, you're just going to just sit there being frustrated.
I feel like I'm a unique case because I've wanted many, many things. I've had so many dreams and so many goals, and I've had so, so many. Like, it's not really coming up with that. That's the issue. My issue is I've always done like this self-sabotage where it's like, yeah, I want this thing. I'm going to try to go get it. Something's not right. I need to do something different. Let me pull back. I guess it was never meant to be. And I've kind of done that pattern over and over and over again. And I recognize that about myself, but you kind of get leery about making that same mistake again. So I do know that for many, self-sabotage is a thing, even if people don't notice what they're doing. Oftentimes, we self-sabotage ourselves with new opportunities all the time and have absolutely no idea that's what we're doing. So I know that that's my issue, and still working through that issue, it's just a matter of, gosh, like, what's it going to take to, like, really, truly end that pattern? You know, it's a process.
Well, I would say one thing that helps you really, truly end that pattern is not being afraid to fail. A lot of people are afraid of failure. A lot of people are afraid of failure. But what people need to understand is that failure is actually a necessity to life. Mm-hmm. Because failure teaches you things. If you did everything right all the time, what the hell would you ever learn? Right? It just means that you're good at doing things. Failure points out your weaknesses. Failure points out where you need to improve. Failure teaches you lessons. Failure teaches you maybe this wasn't meant to be. But at least you're willing to try. And unless you're willing to try, guess what? You're not going to go anywhere. You're just going to stay where you're at because you're too comfortable or you're too afraid, or, you know, you're afraid about what others might think or what others, how you might be perceived. And my question is why the hell do any of you care so much about what other people think of you? Because at the end of the day, we don't live for other people. We have to live for ourselves. And that was something that I actually had to teach myself. Like, unfortunately, like, I was kind of branded as being quite self-centered and selfish because I did what I wanted and I wasn't afraid to go after what I wanted and I wasn't afraid of failure. I didn't like to fail. I didn't enjoy it, but I've learned over time through maturity and growth that it's actually a necessity to life because I was able to regroup and pick myself back up and try a new way until I got it right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had many, many failures, business failures, failed opportunities, and, you know, I can't necessarily say that there came a fear of the failure. I think it was just this subconscious pattern I wasn't realizing around if I deserved it. Like, and if I was worthy of it, which is a whole different thing. But I know also affects many people. So for some of us out there that are in the matrix and want out, like, one of the things I think that can stop many people and keep them stuck is if they think that they are worthy or deserving of anything better. And that's also something that has to be addressed, especially, at least for me, it was an inner child wound, an inner child issue, like stuff from my past and upbringing. So some of that stuff might need to be looked at, especially if you're stuck or stagnant and you want more, but you don't know how to get there, or you have the pattern of sabotage or self-sabotage, because that stuff will stop you every single time.
It will. And I have had moments where I doubted myself, and like, I could have probably traveled years before I actually took that leap, like maybe 2-3 years earlier. But I had a lot of fear. I was just like, I only speak English. I am going to be internationally by myself. This is unfamiliar territory. These are unfamiliar countries. I really wanted to go with a friend, but that's a big ask for a friend. Like, it's a lot of money. International travel was a lot of money, and obviously the time off, and, you know, it's a big ask of another person. And I had to have that really hard conversation with myself, and I had to say to myself, Are you going to let this dream and this ambition pass you by because you are too afraid to do it by yourself? And to overcome that ego, to overcome that fear was very difficult for me. I mean, I just was like, this is ridiculous because I don't live for other people. I can't control other people's schedule. I can't control other people's finances. I know people who want to go with me, but they just can't swing it right now. So what the hell are you waiting for, Allie? And it was a very tough realization for me. But then I also realized, like, I woke up to the idea of no one's gonna just hand you a year-long international trip, Allie. It's just something that you can either take and go by yourself and just hope that you're gonna be okay, or you can just stay in this rat race and you can just, you know, you can stick with what's familiar, what's comfortable, what's making you money. And, you know, I could have taken that money and followed the matrix and gotten a home, put a down payment on a home. I could have gone that path, but I did not want it. And I was killing myself staying in it. I just was fortunate enough to have the self-awareness around it.
I mean, ultimately, the choice is yours. Like, you can choose to stay matrix, like, you know, we have free will, or you can choose a different path. And at the end of the day, we would hope that you would choose whatever's for your best and highest.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great way to end this episode. If you guys like this episode, please share it with people. And Tiara and I have really ramped up our YouTube content, so please come check us out. We have a lot of really interesting stuff about community, truths about tarot, real spirituality versus commercialized spirituality. Yes, that's a thing. We also just have content coming out about a really interesting conversation that we've had with two people who we personally know around fear. So please look out for that. And then obviously all of our episodes. And of course, we have things on our Patreon page for our community, the Higher Vibe Tribe. And if you guys want to learn more, like, come check us out. We are free for 7 days.
Yes, it is free for 7 days, so you can just drop in, take a look around, and then decide if it's a fit for you. We know we're probably not a fit for everyone, which is completely understandable, but we at least want to extend that courtesy because you never know. You might find something in there that blows your mind. So, for example, we have a couple channeling sessions from some very high vibrational beings who have agreed to be a part of this community, and there's an excellent video of us channeling some of those beings on YouTube. And they have some very profound and interesting things to say. So please do go check that out. It'll kind of give you like a little bit of a hint of some of the contents in the community.
Indeed. So I just want to thank you all for supporting us, listening to us. And if you guys have any comments, like, shoot us an email. We'd love to hear from you.
We love feedback. And please do give us a rating on Spotify. We love that too.
Yes. So thank you all, and we hope that you have an amazing week.
Thanks, you guys.